It's Matt Sager back after admittedly way too long. My apologies. There's what, been an entire new Borat movie since my last podcast episode was posted? Been a presidential election, one that's actually being certified. World has changed a lot since you've last heard my voice, and I apologize. The reasons are many. I've been doing a voice project, the details of which I can't really expound upon, but it's been a lot of fun. It's always great when you get to do a fun project that lets you tap into your creativity. When you're working with friends, it's that much more fun. So this has just been great. Also, something more complicated than you'd think for a guy with my career. It's spanned like a couple decades. It's involved voiceover, voice acting. Many people consider those to be two different things. Also lots of broadcasting. And it's been very tough for me to take these disparate jobs, many of which sort of overlap each other, and I'm doing them at the same time, and figuring out how to put them together legibly on a resume, one that isn't just pounding you with credit after credit after credit, but one that at the same time does kind of give me like an accurate reading of what my accomplishments have been. Like, I don't want to downplay or undersell myself, but like, I don't want to hit you with, like, I'm unemployable. I cost too much money for this post-COVID era. That's not true. But at the same time, like, you know what you're getting. It's a fair amount of experience in various fields, almost all of them to do with voice acting, some just regular acting. I don't know. But the resume has come along really nicely. With it, I've had to update all my online profile. So doing a lot of Matt stuff, really. But very excited about the changes in our country. Love the Borat movie. Obviously, that's old news. More current news, and more to do with, aw, crap. Now I've got my resume together. There is a new king of voiceover. This per the week, which is not really a trade paper, right? I mean, I follow it for politics. It's been one of the many feeds I've been reading to help soothe my jangled nerves throughout this really unprecedented, nasty, bizarre, and just generally bad for the country post-election. Like, oh, well, I mean, he's sort of won, but we're still going through the recounts. Well, we've gone through the recounts, but now we're going to talk about Hugo Chavez, who's been dead for 7 years. Well, now we're not talking about Hugo Chavez, but it's a conspiracy from China to elect their secret envoy, their man on the inside. They've appointed Joe Biden, guy with, not to be mean, but like a very short remaining lifespan. I don't see any country getting together and saying, let's pick this really uncontroversial, non-radical, not too much time left guy and install him as our Manchurian candidate. Like, to say nothing of if we're going to entertain conspiracies and talk about foreign actors playing in our elections, we've sort of been through that already. This didn't smack of any of that. Quite the reverse. So I want to thank The Week and many others for reporting the news accurately, unlike, say, Meet the Press, Chuck Todd, probably the most dangerous, irresponsible, unqualified journalist I've ever encountered. Guy who, as of last Sunday, was still saying, well, looks like Biden's probably going to be elected. Yeah, no, Biden was elected weeks ago. Stop it. Journalistic objectivity has, for way too many journalists, television talking heads, and no more, no worse, really, than Chuck Todd, who claims to be an honest-to-God journalist, not an entertainer like some of your more off-the-wall late-night hosts on Fox. This is the host of Meet the Press, and he relies on quote-unquote journalistic objectivity for the most lazy, dangerous, irresponsible kind of just, I mean, allowing people to come on there and spread wild, crazy lies and let them go unchallenged because, well, if I were to interfere with, say, some facts I've got or the truth, that wouldn't be objective. So I just bring on one guy, maybe two people, to scream, and whoever screams the loudest wins, and that's journalism. Chuck Todd needs to be removed from the airwaves immediately. That said, the more dramatic part, please God, let that be true, of the election seems to be over. And now The Week is talking about Jeffrey Wright, actor, voiceover artist, voice actor, really an astonishing, great performer who we just see and hear more and more of. But I don't really need it rubbed in my face the morning as I'm polishing off my brand new LinkedIn profile and logo and wrapping up this great voiceover project that Jeffrey Wright is the new narrator voice. But, you know, I guess I can appreciate The Week for diving into stuff like this, rightfully crowning the new king of voiceover. Really a guy who is as definitive a voice actor and voice artist right now, voice talent, as Morgan Freeman, and coming close on becoming the sort of ubiquitous, defining voiceover talent as the late Don LaFontaine was, a guy who, like, his loss, his passing, changed voiceover forever. It changed the art of movie trailers.
There used to be. Bill is a guy from California. Ted is also a guy from California. In a world where George Carlin brings them a wacky phone booth that travels through time.
When Don LaFontaine died, they just stopped that form of film trailer. They instead do these, like, highlight reels of the movie, often with so many plot points in there to convince you to go see the movie that they kind of hit on every major plot event in said movie, really devaluing these ever-increasing ticket prices. Don LaFontaine could say,
Corey Feldman is a car driver. Corey Haim wants his license. And yet in this world,
like, he could sort of guide you through a couple of hot scenes from the movie, little bit of a sizzle reel, but not spilling the beginning, middle, and end. Or worse, doing something like a Suicide Squad or Justice League or a lot of movies in which the trailer is released as part of a pre-release promotional campaign while post-production is actually still going on. So you see a trailer for a movie and there are many scenes in a 2-3 minute trailer that don't appear in the film at all. Voiceover artists, it turns out, are pretty important. Movie trailers are not doing great without them, as a for instance. Jeffrey Wright is not yet doing film trailers, but he is narrating all over the place. In addition to acting all over the place, he's becoming ubiquitous, like a Morgan Freeman. Unlike him, he is a comparatively new kid on the block, taking his place in the constellation of TV, film, voice acting stars, after first a slow burn, and now he's reaching terminal velocity. So I give him kudos, and, well, again, you don't really want to wake up as a voice actor, and it can rub you a little raw seeing someone dubbed the new king or queen of your industry. But I'm a huge Jeffrey Wright fan. As an actor, as a voiceover guy, I'm actually pretty happy about this. And I'm happy that The Week is paying attention to my little industry. They describe Jeffrey Wright narrating a documentary. Looks like it's for Vice, a new 6-part docuseries called While the Rest of Us Die, Secrets of America's Shadow Government. Yeah, it says that this is Wright's latest narration project, but it's neither his latest nor his seminal work. But no matter, you don't become one of the great narrator voices of the English language with a lone memorable job anyway. To become recognizably a narrator, you must first and foremost be prolific. Yeah, that's fair. Certainly if you're going to compare him to a Don LaFontaine, which I've already done. They say people must hear your voice and instantly recognize you as that guy who does all voiceovers. Again, that's Don LaFontaine all the way. Also makes me think of a different kind of voice actor, one you've heard in any number of animated projects, TV, film. Guy who I was fortunate enough to work with in my budding years as just a little wannabe radio guy. Got to spend all day, every day with him for a whole bunch of years, Billy West. You hear that voice and you go, wow, yeah, no, that's Fry from Futurama. That's the Honey Nut Cheerios bee. That's one of the M&Ms. That's a guy from pretty much every Nickelodeon animated series. It's, you know, Stimpy. Later, Ren is everybody. Don LaFontaine is a very different kind. He's doing his voice. Don LaFontaine style. The Week goes on to say, talking about what a polymath Jeffrey Wright is. Because, yeah, I too knew him primarily as an actor for a long time. And as a voice guy, it's fair to say that once or twice I said, wow, that guy's got a great voice. This happens to me very often with actors where I go, wow, I really hope they're not auditioning for my stuff because they've got great pipes. Jeffrey Wright has been one of those for me. They talk about how many people might know him only as Belize from HBO's Angels in America. I would say it's much more likely that if you do only know him from a TV production, it's likely you'd know him from Westworld, where he's a major figure, prominent player, and where his voice just lends so much gravitas, adds so much to the drama of that show. Jeffrey Wright, in many ways, is the face and voice of Westworld. He's also the voice, this is mentioned in The Week, I did not know this, but he voiced the very first digital ad for our new president, Joe Biden. In discussing this, they compare him favorably to the great Sam Elliott, who they mention also voiced an ad digitally for Joe Biden. Sam Elliott, who, by the way, just apropos of nothing much in particular, lends his voice, and his voice is really kind of the topic. It is lauded, it is praised, it makes all the women go crazy. On this latest episode, this week's episode of Family Guy, a show which I guess you just sort of have to make an appearance on it now if you're a celebrity. Whatever you thought of Family Guy throughout its life prior to now, it is certainly like The Simpsons in a lot of respects, in that they're both way past their shelf life and are both sort of depending on a revolving door of guest stars in order to just carry a weekly episode. It's sort of sad, but not really when you consider that everyone involved is a trillionaire. There's no one really to be sad for except the viewer. I imagine if Family Guy lasts another few years, which it probably will, don't be surprised if Jeffrey Wright makes an appearance there, unless, of course, he's too busy working on everything all the time. He is the new king of voice when an outlet like The Week, which really doesn't do this kind of reporting, I can't stress this enough. Like, it showed up in my political feed today, and it was a welcome relief from these very upsetting political articles that I've been seeing. Stuff about people not accepting election results, about appointments that are controversial. The right's not happy, the left's not happy. Oh, thank God, my industry's being discussed. I didn't expect it to be about me. I hope one day it will be. In the meantime, I can't disagree with the premise. Jeffrey Wright is a monster talent, one who we've seen and heard a lot of, and my guess is that's only begun, that he is going to blaze a trail. And as the industry evolves, he's going to play a major role in redefining and growing voiceover. He may even bring back the movie trailer. Wouldn't shock me at all. And in this time of failing businesses and failing industries, it's such a comfort to know and be reminded that voiceover is everywhere. It's part of all things. The project I just did, for instance, it would have been remote regardless of a pandemic. Voiceover is increasingly done remotely. I'm fortunate enough to have a home studio that is completely professional broadcast quality. It's set up so that I can be directed remotely, which is lots of fun. I miss the occasional in-person studio contact, but that was on its way out long before COVID. By 2013, I would say the overwhelming majority of work I did was from home. That trend obviously picked up a lot of steam with COVID, but like the voiceover industry just so happened to be ready because it was becoming, you know, you want to work as someone who casts these projects. I've heard from casting directors all the time that they want to be able to work with me and call me in if they need to, but they might, for instance, want me to work with an Italian woman who is in Italy. The fact that we can do that, courtesy of ubiquitous broadband, it's been a big boon to the industry and to artists like myself, to the international market. And although I do believe that this awful pandemic is going to let up at some point in the next 2 years, it's very encouraging that stuff like voiceover just chugging along right through it. Anytime I hear of any industry weathering this difficult, awful, in many ways, time and remaining largely intact and its workers and managers being able to work through it, I'm very happy. When that industry happens to be mine, obviously, I'm really happy and really relieved. And while I can, will, and do joke about people taking a place in this industry that is just in the stratosphere, someplace that I hope to be one day, and pretend to be jealous or bitter or whatever, that's really all it is. Anytime someone makes huge strides, huge accomplishments in voiceover, that is great for everybody. Like, obviously, a rising tide lifts all boats. And it's hard not to just admire people who are changing your business. People who you've admired anyway. People who you admired when you saw them on TV or on stage and had no idea they had aspirations of working in voice. And when you find out that they do, it helps to sort of destigmatize. I've been in rooms with actors who are like, oh, you do voice. Yeah, no, I did that in college. Like, it's a little obnoxious how some folks look down on voice acting. So anything that's done to legitimize it, to propel it forward, and anytime someone makes huge strides just personally, that's something to be celebrated. So Jeffrey Wright, my hat's off to you and to you, the audience. Again, sorry I've been gone. It's going to be a bit of a short week starting on Tuesday, and I don't know what I'll be doing on Thanksgiving, but I am back to stay. Thanks as always. Please feel free to check out my Patreon. I'd love it if you would. Link to my Patreon will be in this episode's description, as are links to many of my social media profiles where you can follow me. Also, I'd love it if you subscribe to this podcast. You can do so on any podcast app or network, and on YouTube, you can hit subscribe, ding the bell for notifications, interact with this episode in any way you see fit via commenting, liking, etc. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.